Head this up.
Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel spin. You got no money.
1968.
You got no home. Spinning wheel.
Who is this? What's the name again? The group?
Talking about your troubles. Well, and you,
that's not a group. That's
it's a guy.
No,
ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel turn. Did you find?
You know what is his name?
Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
That's Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Yeah, yeah, this, yeah, yeah. And it was the lead singer that was... He was a well-known guy. Yeah.
You know, he sounded like Tom Jones.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. All right. So, Sandy... 21-year-old guy.
Who looks about 16 in his photos.
Was apprehended for having allowed some top secret information. You know.
Well, he posted it in his mind to his Minecraft group, and it was apparently posted there for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it was there, I guess, to show off the fact that he could hack into this kind of information and give it to them. They interviewed someone else. None of these people knew each other physically. They only knew each other from like being in the chat room associated with Minecraft. And this other kid was identifying him as, a macho military guy. Turns out a 21-year-old Air Force National Guard.
Right.
And he's been in it for 4 years. So he's been doing this since he was 17. Now, he must be kind of a cyber jockey. I suspect that he's there because he was a talented hacker kind of a guy. But my question is, why does someone like that have the ability? And I had to have top secret clearance, I was hearing on the radio this morning, because he was essentially there to repair and service computer systems, and the computer system might have secret stuff in it, so he had to have clearance. But clearly, he had the capacity to now willfully go into that system and not just see what the stuff that he happened to see, but to pursue and find stuff that he wanted to see, and then he posted it for the world to see. And I don't know. I mean, number one, I question our intelligence apparatus, where we decide to do our surveillance and who we decide to surveil. But I guess the world at large basically conducts surveillance on one another. And we were told by people in the spy business now to say, hey, everyone does this, so don't worry, the Israelis and the Egyptians won't be too upset, or the South Koreans, these allies of ours that we were apparently spying on. But still, the competence of our intelligence agencies is always being put to question. And it was most put to question with the weapons of mass destruction fiasco that got us into a huge war, the biggest probably military mistake we've ever made, other than, well, maybe Vietnam. And it just continues. And so now we've got this guy arrested.
Well, but Sandy, here's a reality check for us. That 21-year-old young man, as bright as he is, if he's able to do that,
right?
You can't tell me the brightest of our enemies can't do the exact same thing. We're vulnerable, right?
Well, apparently we are. I mean, this guy had the code so he could get into the computer system. Other people outside would have to hack their way in, but apparently...
Which they can't.
Everything seems to be hackable in today's world.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this is not a question of this administration, because, you know, these kind of our intelligence apparatus operates sort of independent from who's in power. I mean, the way they operate, at least, is independent from who's in power. And I just think that this is another tell about how our American military / international intelligence operations are sort of on a tilt. You know, we just aren't operating on a basis that suggests that we're looking at our priorities and addressing them correctly, and that we're actually operating government in its most competent possible way.
So, Sandy, how much of it is the advancement of technology, which has rendered what we used to be able to do moot? I mean, the advancement of technology.
Well, the advancement of technology has been a two-edged sword for intelligence. It has advanced what we can do right. in our surveillance, and at the same time, it has created these vulnerabilities to being found out. You know, it used to be that everything was on a paper document, and you'd have to get that piece of paper in order to see what was going on. Now, a piece of paper is in a computer, and that computer is accessible in far more ways potentially than a piece of paper.
So this is only going to get worse because technology is not going to be abdicated to go back to paper. And so as technology advances, so will this continue to advance?
I think the super sleuths used to write it on the palm of their hand. Yeah. You're right. I mean, the vulnerabilities associated with the cyber world are the flip side of all the capabilities that it creates. Artificial intelligence, you know, clearly artificial intelligence is going to begin to play a very big role in surveillance. It reared its ugly head at the time we found out that the NSA was looking at everybody's phone calls.
All right, let's go to Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Good morning, Ken. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. You guys just spoke about cutting military expense. In order to keep up with technology, you got to spend more.
Well, that presumes that the military is the place that technological advances need to be made. I think that's a hard argument to make necessarily. I mean, there have been a bunch of advances that have been made through the military. I mean, I think actually the internet was initially set up as a network to create connectivity between our military bases. But the space program has produced lots of technological advances, and private industry, quite frankly, most recently has been the main source of it. The competitive work of the various telephone manufacturers has gone a long way. So I don't know. I think maybe we've drunk the Kool-Aid if we think that we need to have military expenditures in order to have technological advances. I think there's at least as strong a case to be made in just the opposite direction.
Ken?
Hello?
Yeah, your response?
Yes. What about the Kool-Aid?
No. What Sandy clearly was saying is that, you know, you don't really need the military to spurn these advances in technology. You know, so you disagree with us talking about cutting the military budget, right?
Well, yeah, my goodness, this is absolutely the worst time you'd ever possibly want to do that.
Why?
If not, it should be increased.
No, why? Why is this
Do you see what's going on around the world?
Like or, what?
What Putin's doing.
Okay. So why?
And now you want to cut the military.
Do you know we spend more money than Putin and Xi and Kim Jong-un combined?
Well, and more than that, we spend more than the nine next largest military expenditure countries. We spend that much
in total.
We don't just spend more than each of them. We spend as much as they do in total.
Yep, we still can't keep classified documents concealed.
Well, that's different. That's a problem.
No, but you think that there's no reason we should be cutting defense spending, right?
No. Okay. Not when we hand millions and millions of dollars to other countries and illegals fleeing into this country. There's just makes no sense.
Yeah, you know, I think we've all grown up with this concept view that we need to spend as much money on our military as they ask for and as they tell us they need to have in order to be dominant.
Well, because and the rest of the world's coming to get us.
That's the thing. We don't know. They aren't obviously coming to get us. And so it must have to do with the mission that we have adopted in the world to be everywhere at all times, in all circumstances, to fight with anything that you know. For instance, in Iraq, we went into Iraq for circumstances that were ill-conceived. Afghanistan stayed for 20 years after 2 years, at least 18 years longer than our mission would have suggested we needed to be there. Vietnam, I mean, all of these things were done under the then operative theory that we needed to do it for some reason associated with America's welfare, when in retrospect we can look at it and say none of those things had anything to do with America's welfare.
All right, Ken. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, Ken is a prime example. He clearly believes that we need to continue to have and continue to spend these unlimited dollars.
Well, no, I think Ken is clearly mainstream. I think Ken is expressing what, if we stop people on the street and talk to them, well over a majority of people on the street would agree with Ken. And I can understand that. I can understand how we got there. I just, over the past while, have been trying to examine this with much more wide open eyes and just stand back from it and say, okay, what makes sense here, instead of what is the liturgy that we've all come to believe about our military expenditures and our job.
All right, got to go to a break. Karina, hang on. 844-967-2789. What say you? It's Friday. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. Us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. We're talking about Mr. Swalwell, the young man who apparently, text. How do you pronounce his name?
I tell you.
Jake TX? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bunch of letters.
Yeah.
Put together, it looks like a typo, but yeah. It's not. It's his name.
Yeah, he's this young man who
Tajira, something like that. Yeah,
that's probably close enough. Was able to get into something that he shouldn't have gotten into, and cause all sorts of trouble. Let's go to the phone lines. And Karina. Hey, Karina. Good morning to you. You say what?
Good morning. You know what? Every time you guys start talking about the military budget and everything what America does outside of the country, it's unpatriotic, right?
Yeah, to some, they think it's unpatriotic, right.
Right. So my question is, how come in the media right now, they talking about arrest, no bail, cannot leave the country, but where is the patriotism in army? In all military, if there's somebody who spends 4 years being in military environment, understanding the importance of protection, democracy, and this country, go ahead and put documents about that country online. So why are we not talking about it? What is the military personnel patriotism? What is going on? How he can possibly think that it's okay to do for the country he's serving?
Well, I suspect that's what this trial will be all about. I suspect what happened here was this kid wanted to show off his ability to access super-duper secret documents, and he's, you know, people, young people today live in this world of Minecraft. Minecraft's one of the most popular games that young people play. They exist in chat rooms. They don't know each other physically. They only know each other through the chat rooms. They develop personas that are fictitional, and they're fictional vis-a-vis all the members of the chat room. They can pretend to be whoever they want to be in that context. This kid was apparently pretending to be essentially something much like a Navy SEAL, at least according to the interview of the other kid in the chat room who was able to identify him. And I think it's pretty much the reason he got caught was this chat room context in which it all came out. So, you know, this isn't rational conduct. This is irrational conduct. This is a kid who thinks the world is a computer game, including all of these documents that he had access to. He was 17 when he got started in this role.
Let me ask you, Sandy, so the fact that he didn't know, what should his punishment be? Should this be taken seriously?
Well, I'm sure, I'm sure it will be taken seriously.
Well, and I'm asking you that because you've got the Tucker Carlsons and the Green, whatever her name is, and they're saying that this kid is being crucified in the media. And that he somehow, you know, is a hero because he exposed the fact that America has people on the ground in Ukraine, military people on the ground in Ukraine, which none of us knew.
Well, you know, there is this dichotomy. You know, we look back at the Pentagon Papers and the release by Hersh of all of those documents. And we realize how important it was for us to see them and for us to understand, in fact, what the government was doing and how it was contrary to what they were telling us. And so there is typically, and the WikiLeaks revealed good stuff and bad stuff. And so when there are these leaks, we do find out things that unfortunately our government has kept a secret from us in a manner that maybe they shouldn't. So, you know, we've told the world and everyone else that we don't have military personnel in apparently we have about 15, I don't know what the number was exactly, a small number of special force type people in Ukraine. They're probably there in a training role, but we don't know. But
well, we've been told that nobody's there, right?
Yeah, zero boots on the ground. And so, you know, this is going to probably be exploited by Russia. It also revealed numbers, I think, of some people from other countries that were on the ground there, other NATO countries as well, that were also in the 10 to 12 range, small numbers. But that's the problem with leaks. And to some extent, leaks are important and good. And the other flip side of that is leaks can be very damaging and bad. And I guess the world, we have to figure out which they are. If we're going to have government secrets and we're going to conduct surveillance, we better be able to do it secretly. On the other hand, we better only be doing the things secretly that we ought to be doing. And so one of the problems with secrecy is that once you have secrecy, you have the capacity to do things that are outside of what you ought to be doing. And we know this from human nature. And we know it from decades of experience.
You know, Sandy, the fact that we have, I don't care if it's 15 or 1, the fact that we have those boots on the ground can lead to something serious. If those boots on the ground somehow are killed, it opens the door.
Well, if those boots on the ground are killed, or if, on the other hand, those boots on the ground are actually participating in the war, in an important way. You know, are they operating ground-to-air missiles? Then, of course, that would be something not quite so good.
All right, got to go to the break. David, hang on. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Back on, David. Last night I dreamed about a 1961 Oldsmobile with big carburation.
Delta 88.
Yeah, a friend of mine had this. It was blue and white. It was great. Why in the world would I dream about that?
Huh? the Delta 88.
Yeah. And had big carburation. It had made. Oh God, it was a neat car.
Well, I thought you would be thinking about the old. Oh, welcome back to the Erlinger Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967.
We digress.
2789. You can text us at that same number. I was thinking of the. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. And I was thinking of it when you talk about the Oldsmobiles, and you're talking. What is the name of the really high performance one in about 1968, 69? What were those called? The how come I can't reach? Anyway, that's what we get for thinking about the Oldsmobile.
Well, Oldsmobile. We'd have to explain that. That's a brand of car.
442.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 442. 442. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to David from Mequon. Hey, David. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, if you're interested in Oldsmobiles, I know the next Mecum auction that's coming online, I think they're actually going to be selling a few of those. And I don't know if you're aware of this, the guy that runs Mecum, that owns Mecum, he's actually in Lake Geneva.
Oh, really?
And, he has a garage, I think, close to 45 cars.
Is that all? I would have thought he would have a lot more than
that's
that.
That's it so far. Yeah, well, he's not Jay Leno.
Okay.
I think he's on his way. But anyway, I wanted to make a quick comment in reference with the leaker and what's been going on. I'm actually kind of surprised that more focus has not been in the media, I should say.
Is he a hero, Dave? Dave, is he a hero?
What's that?
Is he a hero? There's some who are saying he's a hero. You know, Donald Trump Jr.
I wouldn't call him a hero. No, not at all.
What would you call him?
At the end of the day, I think he's a young man that's confused. And I think that, you know, what Sandy was saying with the whole, I think he sees things obviously in a different light, and I think he maybe thinks he's doing the good thing.
Was it criminal? Was it criminal?
Well, see, I don't even think he was trying to post it to the world. I think he was trying to post it to his buddies, and one of his buddies went ahead and posted it to someone else, and then some Russian intelligence people got a hold of it and posted it in Telegram, and ergo. So, you know, he didn't do this for heroic reasons. Someone could try and turn him into that, but he wasn't acting
so,
like one.
So it is bigger than what's on the surface, because whether he wanted to do that or not, there's some who are saying it's criminal what he did. So what is it? And that's where hopefully through the callers we'll hear their perspectives on it. Yeah. Dave, you say what?
I, I would say, yes, it is criminal because technically when you're doing that, it doesn't matter if it's his buddies or not, or he thinks he's, you know, doing it secretly. He's still giving out important information that is way above his pay grade, number one. And number two, that's not his authority to do that. And so he's breaking a chain of command that, you know, if everybody did that, we would have a real crisis on our hands because, to Sandy's point, you would have, you know, the opposition getting all this information and what the hell we're doing on a regular basis. And the idea is not to let them know what we're doing. But I'm not surprised, to be honest with you, that we do have boots on the ground. I kind of figured that only because the amount of money that we have sent to Ukraine and the fact that we have a lot of retired vets that are over there helping out, and we're not really saying too much about that. I'm not surprised in the least, to be honest with you. But what I think I am surprised, though, is the fact that the media did not really talk about the fact that the Russians, just by happen chance, that the missile that they were using malfunctioned. They're trying to shoot down a Royal Air Force plane, and it was in the Black Sea, and it just missed. And obviously, that could have opened up Pandora's box. And then, of course, you saw what happened with Kim, who I think is going rogue, where Japan had millions of people, millions, not hundreds of thousands, millions of people rushing to get shelter because this missile that was launched just a few days ago was targeted towards Japan, but it luckily it fell in the water instead. So we got a very, very tinderbox-like situation between, you know, with China, and China was surrounding the island again. They were doing all sorts of big-time drills, showing off.
Yeah, you know why, and, Dave, right? If you're China, yeah, well, you know why they were doing it.
Well, again, it's a whole thing, though. You got a lot of moving parts. What I'm saying is we're at a very delicate situation right now where if something goes wrong, it is World War III. It's just all there is to it.
I agree with you, David, but I do think the United States has done a fair amount to put us in that position. So,
yes.
So, you know, the provocation of our constant dealing with Taiwan, having our officials going there and having their president come here and doing things that we know are putting a sharp stick in the eye of China, is what's helping to create this tinderbox. I mean, it's that conduct that causes China to find a need to demonstrate that they can blockade the island if they choose to, so they demonstrate it again now. But
I'll just say this. I don't know what the Biden administration is trying to do by ratcheting it up. He should be trying to de-escalate rather than, you know, like what you're saying, which is increasing the odds.
Hey, Dave, your phone, I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm actually in a bad spot.
Well, I hear, David, I
yeah, and thank you for the call, David.
I do hear what you're saying, though, Dave, and I think the Biden, I'm not sure who's ratcheting it up. I think that Congress, operating unilaterally, probably from the administration. I mean, I suppose Nancy Pelosi was operating in a manner that was consistent with the Biden administration, although I'm not sure. But I'm confident that Kevin McCarthy was not operating in a manner consistent with the Biden administration. And the Biden administration did seem to try and distance itself from the visit by this president from Taiwan. There was no formal meeting of anybody in the U.S. in the Biden administration directly with that person, but you know, the tinder, like I've been saying, the international affairs is filled with yin and yang, and you have to understand both sides. You have to understand what yin is doing, which is us, and understand why the yang reactions around the world, and they're quite frequently very interdependent, and they're quite frequently the result of our initiation of the action. So it is a tinderbox. And I fear, however, that it is the United States that is playing a significant role in creating this fire hazard.
Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Thank you very much. How are you doing? Thank you for the call. You say what?
I'm well, Errol, and thank you for taking my call. First, I want to let you know that I live stream your programs and all programs on your app, and I noticed a new logo, and it's 99.7 Max FM out of Baraboo. And they have our music on there, and there's very few commercials. So I loved live streaming more music or music on Civic Media.
Oh, well, thank you.
the main reason I'm calling is today is 4/14, and do you remember the 414s? They were a group of computer hackers from Milwaukee who broke into dozens of high-profile computer systems, including Los Alamos National Laboratory, Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, and this was, well, way back in 1982 and 83. But that was a big thing at that time. And finally, my understanding about the military is it's not audited or it's unauditable, that they can't go in and justify numbers.
True.
And my gut is that there's a lot of defunct projects that are still being funded, and funds could be reallocated if we tried. And, oh, one more thing. I believe Trump's tariff policies on China poked the
bear.
Pooh Bear?
Yeah. It,
well, the Pooh Bear.
yeah.
The Panda Bear.
Kind of, yeah.
well, yeah, that too, but don't they call Xi the Pooh Bear? I mean, really, yeah. so they poked the Pooh Bear. And thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. And for all of the rest of, you know, our radio stations that make up Civic Media, thank you for listening to us and tell somebody else about us. Really appreciate it. Here we've got all the way from the Philippines, our friend KJ. What's going on, man? What's happening in the Philippines?
Well, some really nice hot weather. We had a little tropical storm, a light one come through, so it was a lot of rain, but we didn't get a lot of wind with it, thankfully. So didn't amount to much other than a tropical downpour that lasted about 2 days. But that's kind of, you know, they're used to that kind of stuff over here. That's small potatoes.
So
it's hard to listen. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's hard to listen when you and Sandy Williams go on about how the United States is responsible for stirring up this pot in these hot spots, namely Ukraine and Taiwan. Ukraine would be under the thumb of the Russians already, probably crushed and taken over if it wasn't for the United States responding, and we were responding to aggression by the Russians. It is not us who, you know, invaded Ukraine or anything else. The Russians attacked them. Now, the same thing is going on with Taiwan. I know Sandy and I have a fundamental disagreement about who Taiwan belongs to, but I'd remind him there is not one day, not one month, not one year that Taiwan has ever been under the control of the Communist Party of China, which came to power in 1949. They've always been independent from them, and hopefully they can stay that way. If we do not give assistance to Taiwan at some point in the very near future, China will take them over and take them over by force. Taiwan is not going to just lay down and say, come on in, and we'll just live under your brutal dictatorship, which is exactly what China is. Now, you can argue that Taiwan belongs to them, but let's say for an instance, we follow Sam's advice. Don't give assistance to Ukraine.
So let's do this. Let's do this, man. Hey, KJ, I need you to hang on because I give you a chance. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. KJ, all the way from the Philippines. It's Friday with Sandy Williams. See what you do, Sandy? You got a guy calling from the Philippines.
Well, and it must be a different time of day there.
We'll be right back.
Once more, I chose you for the one. Now we're having so much fun. You treated me so kind. I'm about to lose my mind. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my life. The other
all right, welcome back. Sometimes it's hard to even get back after listening to the music, getting back to what we're talking about. But anyway, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams and our good friend KJ all the way from the Philippines. It's chiming in, and we're talking again about, you know, we've morphed from the conversation about this young man who, you know, did these things, this horrible thing. And
he leaked the documents.
Yes, horrible thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, KJ, in terms of what you're expressing, I think you're expressing the view of what is probably a significant majority of Americans think along the same lines you do. And I just am of different voice and have a different thought. And I think that and hope that we would stand back and begin to think about the premises on which we get to these conclusions about what we ought to be doing in the world, what our responsibilities are. Taiwan is smaller than Shanghai. Shanghai is a very prosperous city. China, you can say that China is a brutal dictatorship, but China is a government that has in many ways succeeded for the Chinese people in some very significant ways. They've moved the third world country into being a leading economy in the world. And we can point at the Uyghurs as the problem in China. And other than that, I guess we would simply point at differences in the way they go at things like internet controls, et cetera. But we're talking about something very significant and very, you know, we're talking about the United States having sort of a manifest obligation to police the world and to, where we choose, implement ourselves militarily in support of peoples. We don't do it everywhere. We don't do it on the African continent almost at all.
Right.
And we got involved in the China problem with what was then Formosa as the result of U.S. backing of Chiang Kai-shek in the and it was not very significant backing, but we were essentially allied with Chiang Kai-shek in the Chinese Civil War against the communists. And when Chiang Kai-shek
he lost and he fled to Taiwan.
Yes, and when he fled to Taiwan, we continued to be supportive of Chiang Kai-shek, although not very. We didn't really arm him. We simply, and at the time, China was militarily not compelled or interested in pursuing Taiwan. Taiwan was an island that didn't have much value until they started being a major chip manufacturer. Chiang Kai-shek himself was the furthest thing from a democratic ruler. And it wasn't
that
until
is true. He was a pretty brutal dictator.
Yeah. So
I think the island was under martial law up to 1987.
Yeah, but,
right. And it was under martial law till then, and then until 1999, it was the Kuomintang, and it didn't really have a have a Democratic government, and it's only been the last 24 years, and it's only been about the last 5 years that there's been talk about separatism.
Look how much progress they've
made.
compared to other places on the Asian Peninsula.
Don't say compared to China because China has thrived parallel to it. Plus the fact the businesses in Taiwan are very intertwined with China. The biggest business, the biggest chip manufacturer, has as much manufacturing on the China mainland as it does on in China.
So I hate to cut you off, but we're coming up to a break. Hold on, KJ. We're coming up to a break. But what does that have to do with the tea in China, with the United States putting its treasure and eventually its citizens in harm's way because of any of those things you're talking about? Doesn't matter.
Well, it does matter because, A, all the progress is certainly a significant amount.
Again, it doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with the American people.
Well, and also, I think we're making assumptions that aren't really true. The Chinese technology industries have thrived. The Chinese economy has thrived. Most of it was not under the current leader.
He has clamped down and he has impaired the progress that China made before him came along.
I'm not sure, in the late 80s. Is it going to be our business? That's the problem. I think what Earl and I come down on
But our business is to defend freedom and liberty.
Well, not across the world.
Is that our mandate? That's why I say
where and when we can.
South Korea has
no significant strategic interest to us, but we fought a war there to preserve liberty for 3 years from 50 to 52.
We
defended them. When Panama was taken over by Manuel Noriega, we went down there and defended them.
Wait a minute. We shouldn't really get into the Noriega discussion.
Because we've got to go to a break.
Noriega was our ally until he wasn't.
So we've got to go to a break, and maybe we'll carry it over on the other side, but we've got to go to a break. So, KJ, man, call back. We're going to be off for a couple of minutes, and we'll continue the conversation because I think it is fruitful because we can talk about what happened then and what's happening now and whether or not the United States of America is in the business of going around the world and defending democracy is what we're talking about. And there are many people in this country who disagree with that. And so, yeah, we need to delve a little deeper into it. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.